Less than 2 weeks after holding a roundtable meeting to prepare for COVID-19, Lexington Mayor Linda Gorton announces the first case has been identified in Kentucky.
I am confirming that there is a person in Lexington who has tested positive for coronavirus, COVID-19. At the urging of Governor Beshear, with whom I spoke this afternoon, I am declaring a state of emergency to gain access to additional resources if needed. We have prepared and we are ready here in Lexington.
Mayor Gorton, the governor, and health officials are all telling the public not to panic, saying fear is outpacing the spread of the virus. Declaring a state of emergency isn't only done to pave the way for vital resources. It means, by law, businesses aren't allowed to jack up prices of needed supplies and services. I'm Karen Czar reporting.
Beware of pop-up drive-through testing sites.
That was Governor Andy Beshear's warning a week ago, and citizens across the state have taken note. Summer Dickerson and a few others ran off a crew that pitched a white tent in a church parking lot.
Go! Y'all need to leave. Y'all not coming down here. Take those DNA.
The supposed medical team, dressed in white hazmat suits, took swabs from people, insurance cards, personal information, and over $200 each from worried Kentuckians. Not one of them had credentials, and they quickly packed up when the media arrived. Governor Beshear said there are only a few accredited drive-up testing sites in the state.
We've seen a couple that are trying to charge people a certain amount in cash. We cannot tell you the validity of any of them whatsoever, unless they are ones that are connected to a healthcare facility.
Daniels was able to get the license plate number of the self-proclaimed medical team as they drove off. Officials believe the group is from Illinois and the same one that scammed Kentuckians out of money last year, claiming they could check their DNA for diseases. I'm Karen Czar reporting. Julia Hahn is confined to her room. It's a new normal for this energetic 88-year-old. Susan English says before the pandemic hit, her mom was used to daily visits from a sizable brood.
She has four daughters and six grandchildren and a great-grandchild. We all live here in town, so it's a busy apartment for her because we're always there. So for her to not have any family members at all is pretty devastating.
That's where English's son and musician Jordan English steps in.
I got the idea to bring a speaker out to the parking lot and set up and play a little show for them. They went around and let all the residents know what was going to happen, and they opened up their windows and let the music in, and so I got to sit out there and play and see everybody's faces in the window, everybody smiling and clapping along, so that was really special.
And of course, it was special for Jordan's grandma, who he lovingly calls EIO, O for short.
It was the greatest blessing of my lifetime, I think. It was wonderful.
You've got quite a grandson there.
You aren't kidding. He is just the most phenomenal young man that anyone could ever meet, with a heart of gold.
She'd been waiting by the window all day, so she saw me when I was setting up, and she was waving and hollering at me. She was just so excited.
Jordan said he played a range of covers he thought the residents would like, and one of O's favorites.
I don't know a lot of these modern songs, but I'm from North Carolina, so he always does that little song for me.
Mrs. Hahn told me she's never seen anything like this in her lifetime, and credits her family and her faith in God for getting her through.
We may have to go through some tough times. We are going to be okay.
Words from the wise. I'm Karen Czar reporting.
We're ready to start to look at that surge. We're ready to prepare for it. We have, I think, two or three more weeks to be getting ready for it, but we're ready for moving into that surge.
The Nutter Field House is being transformed into the Nutter Field Hospital. Dr. Mark Newman, Executive Vice President for Health Affairs at UK Healthcare, says the facility will be ready for patients within 2 weeks.
400 partitioned medical rooms. Again, it's going to be, it's a standard subflooring floor system, nursing stations, heavy-duty cots, dedicated break rooms. Again, because of what we see with the COVID-19 virus, separated nebulizing stations to be able to treat these patients, linen, shower units. So this is a turnkey. They bring this into us. Shower units with daily sanitation, again, daily towel service, restroom units, all the things that you would need to stand up a 400-bed hospital.
Newman said the staffing plan will include a lot of people that normally work in the ambulatory side of UK healthcare. The field hospital is meant to be, quote, a lower acuity capability to transition patients from the main hospital back home or to another facility. I'm Karen Czar for WUKY News. By noon on Friday, at least 50 cars had snaked through the parking lot of Bluegrass Extended Care in Beaumont. Dr. John Richard expects his team will test a few hundred patients a day. It started when a Lexington healthcare worker couldn't get a COVID-19 test at any hospital, so his clinic made the call that it needed to be done.
She had come in with signs and symptoms, however, didn't meet all the CDC criteria at the time. So she'd been to the emergency room and the urgent care a couple times, maybe three times, and she didn't qualify. She has an 85-year-old grandmother and was trying to protect her grandmother, as well as she's a speech-language pathologist, and so there was concern about her patients and things like that.
Dr. Richards said Fatima Warren, who is openly sharing her name and story in the hopes of changing the process, tested positive.
So with that positive, we got concerned because she does do some long-term care fee studies and some other things. And it was clear to us that if we had ability to study more patients, more people are going to know what their status is. And that's going to help them make decisions when it comes to social distancing or potentially just, you know, quarantining.
Here's how it works. You drive up, and while you're in your car, clinic workers will get your name and insurance information. You drive forward and answer questions by an epidemiologist. He or she determines if you need to have the test. Those who fell into the CDC symptoms guideline or had been in contact with someone who has the coronavirus were tested. I'm Karen Czar reporting. About 50 people attended service at Maryville Baptist Church on Easter Sunday, including two people who drove in from New Jersey. When patrons left, they had notices on their cars telling them their license plates had been recorded and they needed to quarantine for 14 days because of the executive order by Governor Andy Beshear prohibiting mass gatherings. The church's attorney, Matthew Staver, calls the order unconstitutional.
Not executed that against any other commercial operation. It's only against churches. That's what he wanted. That's what he did. That's unconstitutional.
But when Beshear issued the order last Friday, he said it was all-encompassing.
This is by no means intending to single out churches. It's making sure that we're not having any type of mass gathering.
And constitutional attorney Mitchell Denham says the governor has the right to break up crowds during a state of emergency and believes the order given is broad enough to make it legal.
And that chapter gives him very broad authority to limit gatherings of this nature across the board.
During his coronavirus briefing on Monday, Beshear said churches weren't the only places where people got quarantine notices over the weekend.
We've cited 18 businesses, at least through the Labor Cabinet.
Maryville Baptist Church officials said they'll continue to gather for services, but use precautions like hand sanitizer and having those in attendance sit at least 6 feet apart. I'm Karen Czar reporting.
We're not fully opening, but we're definitely opening that patio up. We're definitely excited.
That's Kellen Beatty, manager of Zim's Cafe at the Old Courthouse in downtown Lexington. They've been offering curbside pickup since the shutdown, and they aren't ready to seat customers inside just yet. Beatty said prepping the patio has been a challenge, but she's grateful they had the option.
Moving everything around has been a little bit difficult, not too bad. We're kind of fortunate because we have space to move things around, but I know a lot of places don't have that ability, but it's still been difficult even with space. So it's getting that 6 foot distance and everything like that.
Several restaurants are open to inside dining at 33% capacity. Others are sticking to outside dining and pickup only for now. No matter where you dine, you can expect to see a lot of PPE for employees.
All masked, all gloved, all the time. Yeah.
Several eateries are staying closed, saying they just aren't ready yet. Sadly, many weren't able to weather the shutdown and are permanently closed. We recommend checking online to find out how your favorite restaurant is operating before heading out. Some may require you to wear a mask until you're seated. I'm Karen Czar reporting. On message boards and across social media, countless Kentuckians are showing alleged eviction notices from landlords, telling them they need to pay their rent in full, along with late fees or face eviction. However, Governor Andy Beshear issued an executive order weeks ago preventing landlords from kicking out most tenants.
You can't be healthy at home if you're booted from your home, and we have an order in that prevents that. And so a landlord trying to evict someone, unless they've committed a crime or are causing serious damage, aren't doing the right thing. So we're happy to send that over to the Labor Cabinet and look at it directly. And listen, at the end of this, we're going to have to try to make everybody whole. Those are the individuals. Those are the property owners. But don't kick anybody out right now. It's not the right thing to do. And there are some repercussions if it is done wrongly.
Beshear said rent is still owed, but asks for landlords and tenants to work together. During Thursday's press briefing, he said he will extend the order banning evictions as long as the healthy at home orders remain. I'm Karen Czar reporting. National Guard soldiers will be at 5 locations over the next 2 weeks, packing food boxes to feed more than 250,000 Kentuckians. Lieutenant Robert Moore is the officer in charge of the 149th Maneuver Enhancement Brigade.
Just an honor to serve our community and the Commonwealth of Kentucky. We, as guardsmen, signed up to help in a time of need, and we are proud to be doing that today.
And God's Pantry Food Bank CEO Michael Halligan said the help couldn't come at a more critical time. Most of the pantry's volunteers are over 60 and in the high-risk category, and the requests for food are overflowing.
What we have seen over the past couple of weeks is about a 35% increase in food insecurity across central and eastern Kentucky. Our service area is about 50 counties. We have seen counties on a given day that has seen as much as an 80% increase in food insecurity in need.
Halligan said the boxes will be shipped to over 400 meal programs that distribute food in central and eastern Kentucky. If you can donate to the food program, log on to godspantryfoodbank.org. I'm Karen Czar reporting. At dusk on Wednesday night, Seders, the ritual feast that marks the start of Passover for the Jewish community, were celebrated around the globe via Zoom.
Mazel tov to them. We need to give this company Zoom kudos.
Many people started calling them Zaders, Seder gatherings on Zoom. And that's how Mitch Katz got his family together. Katz lives in Florida, but his work often brings him to Louisville. He is used to traveling a lot and large gatherings, especially with his exuberant family. And like millions of others, he made sure the pandemic wouldn't stop the Katz family from celebrating Passover.
We're used to always having a lot of people over. And matter of fact, one thing we always, like our family, was always having somebody over that did not celebrate Passover, like somebody wasn't Jewish and joining. That being said, we've also have family members we've never celebrated with because they're in different states. We're going to try to celebrate with them. So that makes it, you know, unique as well.
Now, there was a lot of prep work, PDFs to send and family to invite. And like all Zoom newbies, the learning curve and getting everyone on the same page.
Hi, Elaine. I'm reprinting my Haggadah. I know I printed it, but I can't find it, so I'm reprinting it.
You can't get Monty here.
Well, anybody want to say the prayer or you want Hayden to do it?
Hayden. Go for it, Hayden.
Page 3.
Do I start pouring the wine now?
Yeah.
Yes.
You should have wine.
I'm already ahead of you.
But in no time at all, it was as if the Katz family, all seated at different tables, one as far away as New Zealand, were seated at one. There was prayer.
Baruch ata Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam shehechianu v'kimanu v'higianu nazman hazeh.
Amen.
And song. And tradition.
Amazing. Next is breaking of the matzah.
The jokester.
If the prophet Elijah walked through the door and sat down at your table, what's the first thing you would ask him?
Did you wash your hands?
And the party foul.
Audrey, it's Bloody Mary time.
There were no Bloody Marys in Egypt.
In the end, the Katz family and countless others have proven this pandemic can't stop faith or worship. It just changes it a little.
To me, to pray at all, it's between you and God.
I'm Karen Czar reporting.
At 4, we'll announce some new steps that we all as Team Kentucky will be taking.
That was Governor Andy Beshear, who reported a record number of COVID-19-related deaths in Kentucky on Tuesday. The number of positive cases are up, and more Kentuckians are in the hospital, in the ICU, and on ventilators than ever before. Public Health Commissioner Dr. Stephen Stack says there has to be a third intervention.
To stand by and not take some sort of action to try to interrupt this progression would be to leave ourselves open to substantial harm that we have reason to believe we can help to prevent.
The governor said while there would not be a major shutdown, strong actions need to be taken.
We'll be announcing steps. They are not recommendations. They are steps that we are going to take and that everyone has to take with us. We are going to announce a program to help some of those that are impacted, and we're working on that right now. But asking nicely hasn't gotten the results that we need.
Beshear wouldn't give many details, but said the new steps taken would be targeted. I'm Karen Czar reporting. Senator Mitch McConnell said he's been working from home as much as possible since March 13th. But earlier today, he made a stop at UK Hospital to thank healthcare workers and go over CARES Act funds, which he said caused a national debt, quote, the size of our economy for the first time since World War II, but it had to be done, end quote. As for a second pandemic stimulus package, McConnell said if there is one, he'll ensure it has at least one caveat.
That's liability protection, so that the healthcare workers, the small businesses, the universities that are reopening in the fall can be assured that there won't be a second epidemic of litigation. Already 1,100 lawsuits have been filed around the country in connection with this particular virus. Let me point out, it would not protect anyone from gross negligence or intentional misconduct. But this, we cannot have an open economy with an epidemic of lawsuits on the heels of the pandemic that we're working our way through.
Senator McConnell said in order to return the country to normal, we will need testing, treatment, and a vaccine. I'm Karen Czar reporting. A rally was held in Frankfort Saturday afternoon protesting Governor Andy Beshear's Healthy at Home orders. Hundreds gathered on the steps of the state capitol Saturday, spilling onto the lawn. They listened to Republican representatives, church leaders, and business owners who say they don't want to reopen the state in phases. Dara McDowell came from Northern Kentucky and said she understood that the governor had a difficult job and tough choices to make, but feels many of the restrictions are an overreach and have gone on far too long.
I'm speaking as a Christian. I just think it's important for Christians to stand up for our liberties, and not just for ourselves, but for our little ones and for our neighbors. And so, you know, if we don't stand up for freedom, what, you know, what is right, who's going to?
Bashir did not hold a press briefing last night, but was asked about the planned protest during Friday's briefing.
Just disagree with it in a way that isn't going to hurt you, isn't going to put your health at risk, and ultimately, knowing you could be asymptomatic, don't do it in a way that gets you around a whole lot of people, and you could get the virus and spread it to someone that chooses not to be at one of those demonstrations.
None of the protesters practiced social distancing, and speakers told those in attendance they didn't need to wear masks, and few did. Also on Saturday, a federal appeals court declined to block Governor Bashir's temporary ban on mass gatherings from applying to in-person religious services. It cleared the way for Maryville Baptist Church to hold drive-in worship services while adhering to public health requirements, which has been allowed all along. Church pastor Jack Roberts spoke at Saturday's rally and said they will continue to worship inside the building.
We're doing everything that they've been asked to do, except we're going into church. We have spacing. We have a large sanctuary, which means we have plenty of room. We space between families.
Governor Bashir has set May 20th as the date for houses of worship to reopen, provided they can follow safety restrictions. This is WUKY News.
You cannot fan the flames and then condemn the fire.
That's Governor Andy Bashir during last night's coronavirus briefing. He was referring to lawmakers who have led rallies in previous weeks where the radical group known as the Three Percenters attended. That group protested outside the governor's mansion Sunday. Many of them armed, went past barriers and onto the porch, shouting for Bashir. Another hung an effigy of the governor from a tree.
Crossing over barriers, standing on the other side of the glass from where I raised my kids, and hanging me in an effigy? That's an action intended to use fear to get their way. This small group, way less than 3%, is trying to bully everyone else into doing what they want us to do.
Two state lawmakers who were at previous rallies have responded. Representative Kim King from Harrodsburg wrote, quote, "I am not responsible and won't accept the blame," end quote. And Representative Savannah Maddox from Dry Ridge said the governor's remarks, quote, "deflect responsibility for the economic turmoil his actions have created," end quote. I'm Karen Czar reporting. A group of kindergarten first, second, third, and fourth graders anxiously waited for the big parade to turn onto their street.
There's 1,000 right now.
Oh. There were no floats or bands, no candy or trinkets. High fives couldn't be given out, but these kids were just as excited to see a few dozen cars driven by all of their favorite teachers from Shearer Elementary. Kathy Harmon is the assistant principal.
We are having a teacher and staff parade through not all, but a lot of our subdivisions that we that our students live in, and we are so excited. We've made posters, we've chalked up our cars. We just can't wait to see them and give them virtual hugs and kisses.
Shauna Mitchell, who teaches fourth grade, saw the idea on social media and said she had to steal it. 2 weeks without seeing her class had been just too long.
Yes, there will be tears.
And this group didn't just hit one or two streets. They snaked through the city and down country roads for nearly 2 hours, even picking up a police escort along the way. Mitchell helped lead the parade with a convertible, decked out in anything she could find around the house.
It has gold, the wraparound stuff that goes on a Christmas tree. It's covered in gold. It's got red hearts on it that say, "I love Shear, S-E-S, we miss you, we love you," and the top is down. It's a good day.
And it was a good day for these little spectators, too.
Got to see my teachers.
Do you miss school?
Yeah.
I do, too.
But there are always a few in every crowd.
Are you ready to get back to school?
No.
I'm Karen Czar for 91.3 WUKY News. Between Tuesday and Wednesday, more than 1,100 people got to meet with someone with the unemployment office face-to-face to get their claims fixed.
Great news for my kids. Me too.
But it wasn't good news for everyone. Early in the day, the line was cut off and more than 600 people were sent home. The rest were told they'd be seen. Then, after standing in line for hours, about 24 people were told the site was closing for the day. One of those waiting inside sent us this audio when frustration boiled over.
I'm a single mom of two kids, and this is 4 hours for me. At home, you don't.
I was here yesterday, and I waited the whole day. You guys said,
Mackenzie Reed was in tears after being turned away.
Of course I'm furious. Of course I'm frustrated. Of course I'm angry with you all. Of course I want to get loud because you all have told me that before and I've received nothing.
Reed and others were promised a phone call, but the group said those promises at this point seem empty. Hundreds are already in line today in Frankfort, hoping to get benefits they've been waiting for, some for nearly 3 months. Governor Andy Beshear said his administration is working to offer in-person unemployment help in other cities as soon as possible. I'm Karen Czar reporting. Leanne Seaborn joined dozens of other parents and guardians outside central office while Fayette County School Board members held a virtual meeting Monday night. The mother of three believes the current plan isn't working, and it comes from the top.
I just have seen so many parents who are not getting the support that they need, not from teachers. Teachers are doing great. It's from the school district. I know there are kids without internet, without computers, people who are having technology issues.
Yesterday, Governor Andy Beshear said he would not issue any more recommendations regarding schools beyond September 28th. Instead, the state will provide color-coded virus information scaled at green, yellow, orange, and red. Each school district could then make decisions on NTI or in-person learning based on the number of cases within their own county. Parents would also have guidance as to whether or not they think it's safe to send their kids to school. Health officials did say if a district fell into the red zone, students should not return to school. Last night, Fayette County Public Schools Superintendent Manny Cox said they will reevaluate their plan in 2 weeks and that everyone's safety will be taken into consideration.
Our bus drivers, bus monitors, child nutrition workers, teachers, paraeducators, they have one life. And so we want to make sure that we have everything in place in our schools and in processes.
Cox said once a decision is made to return to the classroom or transition to a hybrid program, it would be 2 weeks before any new plan would be implemented, giving time for families, educators, and school administrators to prepare for changes. I'm Karen Czar reporting.
And that's the first Kentucky vaccination.
Dr. Jason Smith, a trauma surgeon and chief medical officer at U of L Hospital, got the first Pfizer dose and a smiley face Band-Aid.
I'm fully in belief that this is a very safe and effective vaccine. I volunteered to go first because of that and to hopefully set the example for others.
Five healthcare workers in all were vaccinated during a live press conference this morning. Dr. Valerie Briones Pryor was third in line.
Just lost my 27th patient today. So the vaccine I took today was for her family and for the other 26 that I've lost, but for all of the other families and patients that I've held their hands, because me and the staff on the units, we're their family. We're the ones holding their hands. We're the ones telling them they're going to be okay.
38,000 doses are in the first Pfizer shipment. Two-thirds of the supply will be given to staff and residents in long-term care facilities. The rest will go to frontline workers at hospitals and medical centers across the state. I'm Karen Czar reporting.